The big social media companies have seen a lot of scrutiny lately. They've been blamed for their role spreading made-up news stories during election campaigns, and they've been called monopolies with too much power over our discourse. Some have even called for companies like Facebook to be broken up. Our next guest says that won't necessarily give us the kind of social networks we want. Instead, he says we should make a new social media outlet, but instead of being for-profit, this one should be public. Mark Cotney is a former director at Tumblr and the author of a recent op-ed in the New York Times titled, We Need a PBS for Social Media. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, before we get to this solution, this public social media idea, let's talk about your concerns and many other people's concerns with social media today. You write it's an opportunity wrapped in a problem. What's the problem part of it?
Well, I think the problem part, to my mind, really ultimately resides in the business model of these networks. They do a lot of great things, and they do it all for something that is ostensibly, at least at the front end, free, which is they give people all these ways to communicate with each other and share information and learn about the world around them. The cost of that, obviously, and the problem around that is that they all make their money off of increasing the amount of time you spend on their network. And the way they do that is in ways that I view, and I think other people sometimes view, as ways that have kind of toxic results. You know, they don't make a distinction between looking at something that is, you know, good and educational and helps you become a better citizen and something that just kind of scares you or outrages you, or, you know, and, you know, we all look at car crashes. We all look at things that aren't necessarily the healthiest things. And these networks, because of the way that they make their money, are optimized for just showing you more and more things that aren't necessarily the best part of what you can get out of a social network.
Because of some of the negatives, people talk about avoiding social media altogether. Some people do. Most of us don't. Most of us are on it. So clearly, we're getting something positive out of it, even with the negative stuff. What are the benefits of the connections we get on social media, even as it exists today?
Oh, sure. You know, and you know, I worked for one for many years starting up, and I think they're real, and that's why I'm, you know, interested in this idea. But, you know, I think I mentioned in my piece, you know, my hometown and little hometown in Kansas was hit by a tornado a few months ago. And after the tornado, the first thing people did was they would go on Facebook to kind of check in and say they were safe. And that is a real benefit. That is a real societal benefit to be able to, you know, like reassure people and connect with people and make sure that everybody's okay. You know, that little town organizes their barbecues through Facebook and things like that. It becomes a real community kind of, kind of meeting place. And, you know, that's real. And that's how I kind of keep in touch with a lot of my friends from that town, even though I don't live anywhere close to there anymore. Those are huge benefits. At Tumblr, there were huge benefits to people being able to share ideas, share things that with people outside of their communities that they never would have come across if they hadn't had that network. And so I think that all those things are great. I just think that there's sometimes, you know, downsides to it that it would be nice to kind of figure out ways to mitigate those.
Talking to Mark Cotney, one of the original employees and a former director at Tumblr. His piece in the New York Times is titled, We Need a PBS for Social Media. All right, let's bring in this idea, Mark. What do you envision when it comes to a public model for a social media outlet?
Well, you know, I mean, this is still in the early stages because it's just an idea that I hope to get some response for and tell me why I'm wrong. But what I envision is really a network that performs some of the same functions of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, that allows people to share information and talk to each other and coordinate without the kind of downsides of the for-profit model. What that would mean, you know, in practical terms is I'm envisioning something that is very much like public media. It has a very local grounding. It's important to be a part of the community, just like you guys are part of your community, just like, you know, the local PBS station or the local NPR station, anywhere in the community is really a core part of that community. My feeling is that is important because that allows kind of a real world check on the membership. One of the problems, obviously, that we see is increasingly on social channels is a lot of fake accounts and things of people who aren't necessarily members of the community or even, you know, residents of the United States creating accounts to, you know, for their own purposes that are bad for the network. You know, my mom in Kansas, again, I'm using her as my example all the time, but, you know, she is followed by all these fake accounts on Facebook, and they're people that she doesn't even really know, but, you know, who are people who are using that network to, you know, kind of use it for propaganda purposes and things like that. So what I envision is something that has some real world identity checks on it so we know that they're actually, these are members of the community, something that doesn't rely on the algorithmic timeline, which you know the Facebook and Twitter and those things do, which is designed to show you the thing that will keep you looking at something else. You know, and I'm not. You know, this would not be optimized to keep you just looking, but optimized hopefully to make sure that you look at things that are useful to you and helpful to you, and not just things that you know that are outrageous. And you know, in form, it would kind of work the same way as the existing social networks. But as from the kind of corporate structure side of things, would be more structured like you know the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that kind of runs a lot of public media. Or you know, is kind of the parent organization for all public media, and would work in much the same way as a nonprofit.
And in your early thinking on this, you're thinking this would be for individual people, one account per person, I think, and not say a corporation or a brand.
Right, and I've had some pushback on that, which is fair. But my feeling is that you know there are plenty of places for corporations and brands. You know, and my analogy is that I really believe that online we have. The shopping mall. We have a lot of spaces that are like the equivalent of the real world shopping mall, but we don't really have public parks. We don't have public assembly places that are spaces that we as a country and as a community say these are places for people and not for, you know, commercial use. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago when the internet itself was something that you couldn't use for public use. And, you know, there's been for private commercial use. There have been a lot of benefits from that, but there are also some points in which you want to, you know, we've gone completely the other way where there's no kind of real public space that isn't kind of dominated and run by corporations. And so I want to carve out some space for that.
And one thing we should make clear, I think you're not saying let's get rid of Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram and replace it with just this one public model, right?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you know, just as, you know, I mean, ABC News exists. You know, these things all have their place, and they're all, I think, very important parts of our society. We just, you know, the main thing is to be able to have alternatives and options because I think that makes everything better.
Who, and I know this is early and in the thought stage, but who would be in charge of, I guess, policing this, making sure that people follow the rules, whatever they may be?
Mm-hmm. This is perhaps the most interesting. You know, problem that I see, and I confess I haven't you know necessarily got a solution for it. But my initial thinking on this is that this is exactly why I want to constitute this as a series of local organizations that all feed into a national network of this social media platform. Because the idea would be ultimately is that you know say you know my to take again my Kansas example the Lawrence, Kansas Public Library could be. A host for their town or, you know, like WNET, the PBS station here in New York, could be a host for a part of New York. And part of their responsibilities as a host for that part is to make sure that the people on that network are, you know, living up to their responsibilities. And that doesn't mean, you know, censorship. That doesn't mean, you know, that we want to, you know, govern speech or things like that. But we all understand there are certain bits of behavior that you don't do in public, you know, and, you know, typically, you know, on social media channels, most of the things that get kind of enforced against are things that violate, say, copyright laws and stuff like that, right? At Tumblr, we would take down anything that was a copyrighted bit of material. And so obviously you do that, but you also, I think, have to acknowledge, you know, just the very basics of, you know, what a community standard for civility is and things like that. And my hope is that, you know, if in grounding it in local communities that we all kind of can agree on what's acceptable behavior on these networks. And, you know, the other answer to this, I think, hopefully is, you know, this is my utopian side, but to say from a product side, you know, I always felt at Tumblr, the way Tumblr was built in particular helped make it a little bit better discussion, a better place just because of the way the thing was structured as opposed to the way that, say, Twitter or Facebook kind of work.
Talking to Mark Coatney, longtime social media executive at places like Tumblr and elsewhere. We're talking about his idea. He presented it in a New York Times piece for a new public social media network. He's brainstorming on this, and you can join the brainstorming at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea? What would you want to see out of a public social media platform? Would you like to see this kind of non-profit-oriented alternative to the Facebooks and Twitters and Instagrams of the world? Would you want to have a network that was only with real, verified humans? call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Mark Coatney, previously director at Tumblr, who says if we want social media to be less addictive and more civil, we should try making a public option to exist alongside sites like Twitter and Facebook, say the way PBS does for TV, or another example. I can't think of one, but it's out there. Call in at 800-642-1234. Sound like a good idea to you? Would you want this nonprofit alternative to social media sites? What would you want out of it that you can't get with the options that exist today? What, if anything, bugs you about, say, Facebook or Twitter or whichever site you do go to, love it or hate it? What questions do you have about what our guest is thinking about here? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go right to our callers. Anne is with us in Sun Prairie. Anne, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Anne?
This topic caught my attention because approximately 3 years ago, my college milestone reunion was being handled by way of Facebook. And I'm not a Facebook user, and it seemed that that was the only way to make the connections, or for sure the best way. And I was very resistant to the idea of becoming a Facebook user for just the purpose of my college reunion. I just wasn't going to do it. So one day I went into the public library and I said, is there such a thing as a Facebook that the library has that I can jump on and get access to all this pertinent college reunion information? And they said no. And hearing this topic today, I thought, oh, my goodness, I think there's some intersection between what I was wanting and what this your guest is exploring as well. Although in listening to the show so far, I was concerned that one would have to be a Facebook user to access the public Facebook, which is not what I would want. But
and thanks a lot for the call. I'll jump in there, Mark. You're envisioning something that is not owned and operated by the Facebook company here.
Right. And thanks, Anne. Well, that's helped. That's helpful to have someone else thinking
sure.
that way. Yeah. No, I am completely thinking of this as something that exists independently of those other networks for that very reason. I mean, you know, lots of things, you know, work, you know, inside of that ecosystem. But once you do that, then you're being part of that ecosystem. And I know a lot of people do not want to, you know, kind of be part of the tracking and things that come with being, you know, having an account or being, you know, registering even for, like, you know, a class reunion or something like that. And I do think that that's part of the issue, is that there aren't very good alternatives right now to those things. And so if you want to do it, there you're limited in your options unless you kind of become part of this network.
Well, that's interesting. And I wonder how many people are out there like Anne, and it would probably be hard to figure that out, but who want some of those functions, like, as you said, keeping in touch with people after tornado hits, or as Anne said, that planning that class reunion. They like those functions. They don't want to pay the virtual price of admission that joining Facebook entails.
Right. And I, you know, and I think, and again, this is not coming from a place of these things are all bad or have, you know, evil intent or anything like that. I think there's obviously a place for it. It's just that there should be other alternatives, and you know, just the same way that you can use a public library and don't have to go buy a book. And that's a real useful thing for people to have, you know. And I think similarly, we would all be helped if we could, you know, have that kind of public space to use it in the same way that you can use a public water fountain or anything like that.
And thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Eddie with us in Viroqua. Eddie, hi.
Hey, thank you for the great show. Excellent idea. I'd like to maybe make a suggestion that instead of a nonprofit model, you look at a cooperative, which is in Wisconsin. We have some of the best cooperative laws in the country, and a lot of the bigger cooperatives are based here. And what it means is that all the members, and if you imagine all the members of a Facebook group being owners, and the dividends that would happen at the end of any fiscal year, any profits would go back into the membership, and it could be based on a contribution level. The more you participate, the more you're going to get back as a dividend if the cooperative makes a profit. So it might give a little more incentive to users to participate more, and there could be even levels of membership for coders and people that are workers in the co-op also.
Wow. Eddie, thanks for the call. Mark, what do you think about the co-op model Eddie's laying out there?
Eddie, that's a great idea. You know, I'm ashamed I haven't, being from a farm town, I can't believe that I didn't think of that myself. I think that's an interesting model. My only thought so far is that at least as I'm currently conceiving of this, because, I'm not making this a place explicitly for advertising or anything like that, I'm not sure how many profits there would be. Is the only issue. But I do think that, modeling after co-op and in that same sense of if you are contributing to the co-op, you are helping that and you get some sort of status or some sort of benefit. I mean, in some ways, you think of something like a Wikipedia works in this way, right? I mean, the people who are the hardcore kind of curators of that get something out of it that's not necessarily money, but they get something out because they feel like they're helping that community of people who are really into getting information through Wikipedia. And so it could be formed in a similar way to that, I think.
Eddie, thanks for that call. We're talking to Mark Coatney previously with Tumblr. He says, hey, we could use a public alternative, a nonprofit alternative to social media. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Back to our callers. John is with us in Lake Halley. John, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think, John?
Well, I've been studying cybersecurity lately and finding how many trackers, every time you log on to any type of social media or even non-social media site, how many trackers they put on you to find everything that you do. If there were a public option, I would like one that didn't have any trackers to uniquely identify you for advertising purposes.
John, thanks a lot for the call. So close up that cookie jar. Nothing follows us on this public social media site, Mark.
Actually, John, absolutely. I think that is key to the whole thing. And part of the reason to do this is that the only thing that we want to know on this public social media channel is that you are who you say you are, so the login and identity security is important, but we don't want to, track you anywhere else across the internet. We don't need to know anything about you, other than that you are the person that you say you are when you log in. And we don't want to, and we wouldn't share any of that information with any other entity who was trying to track you across that site.
John, thanks for the call. Colin is with us next in Milwaukee. Hello, Colin.
Hi. I just wanted to bring up, I think there's a lot of software that is a lot of what you're talking about already, such as Mastodon or the Matrix Network, where it's based on free and open source software, but anybody can install it on their server, and then you can communicate with people who have it installed on other servers as well.
Colin, thanks for the call. So I'm not as familiar with these. Mastodon, Matrix Network, he says we can kind of do this on our own, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those are great options. I love Mastodon. I'm a member of some communities. My only kind of thinking around this versus, say, a Mastodon or Matrix is that, you kind of have to, first of all, in Mastodon, at least the way I've come across it, understand is you kind of have to be invited into that community, and I want to make this much more open and available to anybody. Second, it relies on someone setting up a network and running it, and it's a great tool for the people who want to do that. But again, to my parks analogy, I'm thinking of this as something as a park where you as a user don't have to have any sort of technical expertise or anything like that, or be that kind of person, but you just kind of come in and use the platform. And Mastodon, to me, is a little bit more open-ended and is great in that, but it's also maybe something that, say, my mother is not going to have an account on.
Colin, thanks a lot for the call. Mark, at the outset, you talked about getting away from the social media algorithm model where it's going to keep feeding us stuff that gets us the most hyped up, whether it's stuff we really agree with or stuff that angries us up. It's going to keep us clicking and scrolling and looking. What would social media without that kind of algorithm look like?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I just had a good talk with someone the other day in public media who talked about how public media views engagement. You know, and when you talk about engagement in conventional commercial social media, what we're really talking about is just you want people to spend, you know, keep looking at something and look at the next thing. So what are the things that make people keep looking and looking at the next thing? But like in a public media way, the way that people tend to think about it is more this idea of what are things that make people better in some way? And some things where people learn something, that where we can see that people have learned something, or that they've like taken an action or done something to help other people, or done something, you know, to be a better member of that community. And so to my mind, what a public social media platform is something where you pay a lot of attention to making sure that you have things in there that educate people and make people, you know, better informed about their community. And it doesn't have to be like all, you know, the city council meetings and stuff like that. But, you know, it can also be fun and entertaining. But it ideally is a network in which the premium is based on, is this something worthwhile that I feel good about, and not something that I am just sharing because it's outrageous or it's disgusting or whatever.
In our last few moments, Mark, you're floating this idea. Who are you hoping picks this up and starts running with it?
Well, I mean, I firmly believe in the idea that there are a lot of people in this country who are much smarter than I am, and so part of it is
same.
And so part of it is I'm hoping to get this idea out and put it in people's heads and get people start to thinking about it. You know, I am talking to people in various public media outlets and other things to see if we can't make this a reality in some way, even as a small kind of pilot project. But I welcome any thoughts, you know, reasons why it's a dumb idea or reasons that I haven't thought of or anything like that would be most helpful for me, and I'd appreciate it.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
That's Mark Cotney, former director at Tumblr. He was with us today to talk about his recent opinion piece in the New York Times, We Need a PBS for Social Media.